I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, so glad to be sharing this third in a brief series we've got on the four prison prayers of Paul, which is the title of a book I recently published, urge you to get a hold of, and I'm sure it's going to bless you and help you in your prayer life. In this third message, Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Then he says, and may do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So Paul is praying a prayer, but he knows that God's going to exceed whatever he prays for. What a beautiful way to pray, believing that the Father is just so generous, so immensely powerful, and that he will use that power to fulfill our prayers and to exceed them in an enormous way. So the five requests in this prayer that Paul has prayed is to be strengthened with might through his Spirit inside us. Second, that Christ dwell in their hearts. Third, that they are rooted and grounded in love. Four, they comprehend the immensity of the love of God. And number five, they're filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, so his first prayer is that God would strengthen you. God has not come into your life to weaken you. He comes to strengthen you. He hasn't come to break you. He's come to make you whole. There can be a good kind of brokenness, but it's the kind that actually does make you a whole person. But sometimes people have been broken in life and they need mending. And Jesus comes to strengthen us. It says that he will not snuff out a smoldering wick. He'll relight it. It doesn't say he'll break a bruised reed. He'll strengthen the bruised reed. So that's the nature of God. If you've been bruised, he's not going to break you. He's going to strengthen you. If you find you're just sputtering like a candle on its last legs, he's going to re-fire you, re-energize you. That's the nature of God. And he says he wants to strengthen us in our inner man. Being strong on the outside, well, that's great. But if you're weak on the inside, easily overcome by temptation, easily overcome by distress and depression and discouragement, then we need to get stronger on the inside. In the inner man is our mind, our heart, emotions, and our spirit. And if we find that anxiety just drowns us so easily, he is praying, and I'm praying for you, that you be strengthened in your mind so that you don't. You hold it together. And in your emotions, that when you get angry, or you're feeling like anger is rising, that you don't. You're strong enough to resist it and you don't fly off the handle and lose it, but that you are strong in your inner man. When we talk about strength, one of the most famous biblical characters is Samson, who was supernaturally strong. He defeated all the enemies of Israel just because of his massive physical strength. The things he could do were superhuman. But then he met a woman and she seduced him and eventually got the secret of his strength out of him so that the people she was employed by could bind Samson and stop him destroying their countryside. And he was strong on the outside, but he was too weak on the inside to resist the advances of this woman. And he eventually gave in. And he said, "The secret to my strength is my hair." So they shaved it and he lost his strength. To me, that is a really powerful picture of prayer. That if the devil can shave you of your prayer life, all your strength will go. Our strength is in the fact that we pray. Samson's strength was in that he'd never cut his hair, which was part of a Levite vow that they weren't allowed to cut their hair. And when we cut out our prayer life, thinking that there are other things that are more important, it will weaken us and we'll find ourselves easily overcome by the enemy. The next thing, they gouged out his eyes and they put him to work in their basement, in the basement prison cell. And instead of a cow grinding out the corn, they used him to treat him like an animal. So he was grinding out corn blind in the basement of the palace. But something interesting began to happen. As hair does, it began to grow again. Our prayer life can grow again. And as his hair grew, his strength returned. As our prayer life returns, our strength increases. And so being strong in the Lord means things can't get me easily. They can't take me away. Being strong in the Lord means I'm not easily deluded or deceived by all the voices about Christianity that are in the world trying to get my attention and take me off course. I'm strong on the inside so that when scandals come, I'm unmoved. I'm unshakable. I'm strong in the Lord because I know Him and I know what He's called me to do, and my eyes are straight ahead to carry out what He's called me to do. And Paul is praying that they would have that kind of strength in their inner man. And then he says, by the Holy Spirit, they'll be strengthened inwardly through His Spirit. So when you activate the Holy Spirit in your life, that has the impact of strengthening you. Speaking in tongues, worshiping, praising God, all of that activates the Holy Spirit. Speaking the scripture, He wrote it. When you speak it, His power infuses it. And so you find yourself getting stronger and going from strength to strength. That's how the Bible puts it. And that's the journey of a believer. We're meant to go from glory to glory to glory. The way of the righteous winds upwards. Things that were good yesterday are going to be even better today. Things that were better today are going to be even greater tomorrow. God has got us on a journey of going from glory to glory, from strength to strength. So walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, worshiping God will all activate the Holy Spirit inside of you, making you strong. 2 Timothy 4 verse 17 says, Paul says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. When God is close to you, you're strong. And He gets close to us when we get close to Him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And praying in the Holy Spirit definitely is going to increase your strength. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, Jude says, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you build yourself up, speaking in tongues, you actually strengthen your faith and you become a strong believer. The next prayer that Paul has for them is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That means to make home at. So to keep Christ central in your life actually takes strength and it takes faith. As we walk in faith, we'll find Christ is alive on the inside of us. He doesn't operate in the realm of doubt and darkness. In him is no darkness at all, the Bible says. And when he came into a village, his home village, where there was very little faith and no honor for him, he couldn't do any mighty miracle. So when we provide Jesus with an atmosphere of faith in our heart, in our mind, we'll find his miraculous power travels through us all the time. Listen to me, this is so important. And I pray for all of our people and all of our believers that they would have this attitude of faith in their life, that they'd be bold, courageous, believing, positive, confident people. Because as you are bold, you'll attract great things into your life. If you are positive, positive things are going to come into your world. It is just one of the laws of God. To him who has, shall more be given. And whatever you have, more of it's coming. Unless it's bad stuff and you start reversing it, and you start walking by faith, even though you might have some bad things in your life, you start saying, all things work together for good to those who love God. Blessed be God who's blessed me with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Just keep saying that, even though it may not be apparent. But as you do that, blessing's going to come into your life. It's the same with the laws of sowing and reaping. It's a law. Do good and you'll reap good. Do bad, you reap bad. It just is one of the laws. Other religious groups have noticed it around the world. They call it karma, call it whatever. Whatever you sow into this life, it's coming back. And so as we are strengthened by faith in our life, we actually find that's the atmosphere that Jesus Christ lives in. When you meet people, speak life into them. Speak faith into them. Encourage them. Speak the life of God into their world by proclaiming all the things that God has done for them. Then it says, rooted and grounded in love. So good. As a pastor, you want people to not be pot plants in your church who just pick up their pot and go off to another place when the first sign of trouble turns up. There's always going to be challenges in church life. That will never stop. Paul was facing it 2,000 years ago. We're facing it these days. But he wants us to break the pot and let our roots go into the riverbank and become rooted in Christ, in the church. But he's saying rooted and grounded in love. So this is awesome. Because that's saying, I want my roots to go down into the love of God. So that the nutrients I'm pulling up into my life, into my tree, is the love of God. Not hatred, not malice. So what are your roots soaking in? Are your roots in cynicism, in doubt, in hatred, in anger, strife, conflict? What do you think of the most? What do you feed on out of social media, out of the television, out of books? What you're feeding into your life, that's what your roots are in. You can't be feeding on that and expecting to be a loving person. What our roots are in is what our fruit will bear, is the fruit we'll bear. So if our roots are in love, we'll be loving. And that's what Paul is praying, that our roots and our grounding is in the love of God. And then he prays that we would comprehend the breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of God. So he is saying, this word comprehend means to seize, to actually acquire, to appropriate. Much like an Olympic Games athlete is wanting to seize the gold medal, they're pressing in to know this incredible love. So the breadth is God's unending acceptance, unending. There's just no limit to the breadth of whom he will put his arms around and embrace. People way beyond our boundaries. He's saying, they're not beyond mine. They bear my image. I love them anyway. His love is not narrow. It's not limited. His length, know the length of the love of God. God will wait longer than any of us for someone to just break open to him. He waits and he waits and he strives with people's hearts and souls. So he's asking us to know that same length for ourselves and for others. His patience is way beyond yours and mine. Can seem like he's taken too long for our level of patience, but his timing is perfect. The depth, to know the depth of the love of God, he reaches the darkest of hearts, the most distressed of people, the worst of sinners. His love never bottoms out. Doesn't say that's deep enough. I can't go any deeper than that. He has no limits on the reach of his love. His height, know the height of the love of God. His love has planned the greatest of goals that far exceed our expectations. His plan is far above anything we would ever deserve or feel that we're worthy of, because his grace extends way beyond anything that we can imagine. And then he says to know the love of Christ. So the Colossians, in his heart and soul, Paul was thinking they need to know the love of God. There was something about the Colossian church that was lacking in that area. He says, I want the love of God to be manifesting amongst those believers. And he says, I want you to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which basically means you can't naturally understand this love of God. Seeing it will help you feel it. Then he finishes this prayer by that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How about that? We're called a temple in the New Testament. God dwells in us. We're a temple of worship. We're a temple of prayer. But he's saying, I'm praying that your temple, that each of you, be filled. This is maybe the biggest prayer in the whole Bible, that you may be filled. You can't do any more than be filled with all. There's not more than all. It's all. The fullness, not just a part of or a portion of God. The greatest, biggest, most pervasive person and atmosphere in the entire universe, God. He's saying, I want you to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what the church is meant to be. You and I are meant to be people that when the world meets us, they feel like they just met someone who knows God. We're going to continue this series in the next message. We look forward to seeing you then. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year around the world, and our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello at c3churchglobal.com. That's hello at c3churchglobal.com.
See you again soon.